Well, Merry post-Christmas and Happy Almost New Year. So I just want to pray for us, and then we're going to read Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 5. We'll stand for the reading of that, but let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time to be together, Lord, as we are coming to the end of one year, entering into a new year, Lord, and we're thankful. And Lord, we just continue to commit this service to you, Lord, as we've worshiped you through some song and fellowship this morning, and now through your word, Lord, and through some more music after, and just fellowship, Lord. So we're just thankful. We're thankful that you're here and that you are working in our lives, Lord, and we just want to acknowledge that. So we just praise your name. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. If you're able to stand for the reading of God's word, I do invite you to do so. We're going to be in Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 through 5. We have the kids here this morning in service. And if you're keeping track, as your paper said you should, the title is, remember, the pastor that is preaching is Dallas Jackson. Okay, there you go. You guys got 2 points already. All right. With that, let's read God's word. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 5, reading from the NLT. Be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that the people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. Brief prayer. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that we here have it so accessible to us. And thank you that we can read it anytime in our paper books or on our phones or tablets or whatever, Lord. And sometimes we take that for granted. But we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that guides us and leads us and opens up the scripture for our understanding, Lord. So, Lord, prepare our hearts to receive your word. And again, whatever you want me to say, I say. Whatever you don't, I don't. We'll be careful to give you all the glory. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. So as we stand between this weird but wonderful week between Christmas and New Year, it is a season of reflection, isn't it? Wouldn't you say? And as we look back at what God has done and anticipate what lies ahead, I just thought that we would close out our Advent series with a post-Advent message called Remember. And that's really a large part of what Moses is doing in Deuteronomy. And just a little bit of a background before we jump into it. Moses is 120 years old when he gives this message. It's his final sermon to the Israelites. And they're right just on the border of going into the promised land. But Moses doesn't enter the promised land. It's very sobering. 2019, when I was in Egypt and then in Jordan and standing up on the hills, one of the hills, there's several, we just pretended that that was the one the Israelites were on. And you could see over into the promised land. It's very sobering to think that Moses was there giving part of the sermon, looking into what God had promised and him never entering into it. Deuteronomy is the longest sermon, well, if you want to count it a sermon, it is, in all of the Bible. And it's recorded towards the end of Moses' life. He's writing this down. So if you look at Deuteronomy, really is his final sermon, his sermon to cap off everything that's happened through Exodus and his journal of Numbers. And this is after the Israelites have spent 40 years walking in the wilderness. It took them 40 years to walk roughly 380 miles. Now, you have to be really, really slow, or God has to be very, very intentional. And just for fun, here's a map, because I like maps. Here's a map. And at the very top, it says, the way to the land of Philistines. That would have been the most direct route to go to the promised land. But if you could make out the red line, they go all the way down to Mount Sinai, and then they go back up by the Gulf of Agabah, and then they go up all the way to the wilderness, Kadesh Barnea, then Purim, then come back down, then they go back up, and they do the hokey pokey, right? So they go all the way around for 40 years. So they've lived, I want you just to imagine living 40 years in anything. Some of you are not quite 40, some of you are 40 and then some. But I would imagine that you've not lived in the same house for 40 years, maybe a house that was passed down to you. Maybe you've not had a job for 40 years. Maybe you've been married that long. Now imagine walking around the desert for 40 years. That is a long time to camp. That is a long time to be without. And I would suggest that even if you like camping, you don't want to camp for 14,600 days straight. And in the wilderness, it's interesting, if you do a survey of the word wilderness and just consider what that means, there's a lot of meanings behind it, but there's three main ones. Generally speaking, a wilderness is an actual place, a wilderness, which really means there's no shelter and scarce food and water. Then there's the spiritual wilderness. Then there's the preparation of wilderness. I lump those all together. And then there's like this rebirth, this reborn, this coming out of wilderness. But regardless of the reason why there's a wilderness, 40 years is a long time. Now, the leader of this group, Moses, started this journey with his people at the age of 80. Anyone want to go on a trip at the age of 80 for 40 years? And this is his final message to his people. Exodus 12:37 tells us that approximately 600,000 men left Egypt on foot along with women and children. And out of all those people, Moses, Joshua, and Caleb are the only ones remaining of that original group. And you can go back and read Numbers if you want to see the reason. Numbers 14, 28, and 30. I don't have that on the screen, but it just says, because the Lord had said that no one of these who had grumbled against him shall enter in the promised land except for Joshua, son of Caleb, son of, and Moses. But these three guys are the only ones who are remaining who had originally began this journey in the wilderness. And that's followed by, or before that, I should say, it was 430 years that they were in captivity in Egypt. So for 470 years, they are without a home. In these 40 years, they've seen a lot, starting with the Red Sea parting, walking across dry land. They drank water from a rock, the rock that eventually turned into a stream. They had food from the sky called manna, which is, what is that? They survived snake attacks, various attacks, near starvation. They faced death. They were almost completely annihilated. But what were they supposed to remember in the 40 years? See, when they get into the land and the fight is over and they get into this promised land and they're done with the wilderness, and when they have their homes, because remember, they're going into this land the Canaanites had, and everything is prepared for them. They're going to cross over the Jordan, and here's your brand new track home. Here's your garden you didn't plant. Here's the animals you didn't buy or purchase. Everything they will get, and they did not build, they did not work for. All of the prosperity that they are going to inherit, Moses says, be careful. You obeyed in the wilderness because what else are you going to do? But now you have to obey when you're in the promised land. But in the words of Chuck Swindoll, when you get fat and sassy in a new land, you'll quickly forget me. So what Moses is doing in his final sermon is he's telling them to be careful by remembering. Remember what I have written. Remember what I have commanded. So what exactly are they to remember? You are to remember that the Lord led you all the way. That is what you are to do, and that is what you are to pass down to your children, that God is faithful and that he has met your needs, regardless of the demanding challenges, the difficult, the hardship, feeling exposed, feeling left, thinking that your leader has lost his mind, wandering around, thinking that God has forgotten you. But Moses is begging them that God is faithful. And he's reminding them again and again. He says he was your cloud, he was your fire, he led you, he kept you warm. Remember that the Lord has led you through the wilderness, and God knew where he was going. That the experience of being a slave in Egypt was followed up by a season in the wilderness. Yet that wilderness is what the Lord used to strip away the negative effects and experience of being a slave in preparation for the new land. But mostly to teach the Israelites to trust and obey God, to remember he is faithful and true. Moses repeatedly calls them to remember, not just with their minds, but with their hearts and with their actions. That's very, very important for us, even today. Yeah, I remember. In our heads, but do we remember by our hearts and our actions? Does that dictate that we remember? The word that Moses uses for to remember is zakar, meaning to bring something to mind for the purpose of an action. Moses wants the Israelites to recall how God provided and guided them, tested them during the wilderness journey, not so that they could dwell in the past, but so they could trust him into the future. And through this word remember, in his last sermon, he uses it 16 times. I won't cover all 16 times, but it's very specific. And if you do take the time to look for this word, remember 16 times, it's a zakar word, you'll always notice that it is remember the character and or action that God did. So with that in mind, I think it would be appropriate for us to remember what God has done for us this year. How God has been with us all year long. He's never left us. He's never once abandoned us. He's never left us all alone, never ignored our prayers. To remember how God has led us this year. And not just as a church or church family, and not just as an individual, but a family, but just how God has led us to this point that we're here now. I spent more time on social media than I like to admit this week, and to see everyone's Christmas and catch up and all that stuff. But one, there was a theme that kept popping up over and over again that I noticed. Of course, none of you, but those heathens from Long Beach. But But quite a few people were very eagerly excited to enter the new year, which is great, but complaining about the year behind. And then, again, I spent more time. Then I went back to last year, and they said the same exact thing. And before I make fun of my brother, I'm just kidding. But it's easy to do, right? Looking forward to the new year, what's next? It's in our DNA, it's in our culture, that bigger is better, up and to the right. This is going to be our year. Can't be as bad as last year. Oh, don't say that. It might be. And granted, a lot of us have gone through awful things, wonderful things. But yet, as Moses outlined for us, remember the character of God. And I encourage each one of us to take time and reflect on that today in our fellowship time up into the new year. And then just in case I forget to say it at the very end of the message, not only remember what God has done this year, but tell someone. Hold up your Ebenezer. Stack your stones. Write in your journal how God has led you this year, how he has humbled us, how he's humbled me, how he's humbled you. A pastor once said, how many times this year did you adjust the weather outside? None. And I think, and this is not exactly a survey of what Moses said, but I think this is a good tool that we can use to remember. I think it's a great example to do that. I know in several churches that other family members of mine are a part of, they spend this Sunday and the pastor gives a short 10-minute message and has people share. Maybe we'll do that next year. And before you think it, no, I'm not trying to get off the hook of only doing a 10-minute message. Maybe some of you'd like that. But irregardless, don't go to bed today without telling someone what God has done this year. And I wrote down a lot, and I don't know how much I'll get through it, but just of what God has done, I think it's just, again, a great example that to remember 2024, God has been so faithful to us. Now, again, that doesn't mean there wasn't hardship, but as Moses said, remember how he led you through the wilderness. At this point today, we've been in this building for 2.5 years. Technically, this past October will be our 3-year anniversary of signing a lease. That's pretty cool. And as I was thinking about that, I was reflecting on, I really miss being in Wardens for the 20 months, maybe because I didn't have to set up or tear down. So thank you, Jennifer, for that. But that was so fun, sitting by the heater. This past August, we dedicated babies, 4 babies. We had 4 baptisms. We had 2 other baptisms, not by us, but from youth group at their church. 38 kids went to winter camp. 46 kids went to summer camp. A few people went home to be with the Lord. 7, if my count is correct, rededicated their lives to Christ this year. We've had men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies, and I just wrote down lots and lots and lots of food. We partner with Love Life Ministry. 25 babies were saved. Thank you. We've had people come and join us at Renew. We've had people move on. At least since I've been here, we had our first set of twins born. That's cool. We've also had a man who I greatly admire and respect go home to be with Jesus. Doug. We've also had a baby who went home much too early, according to my count, and Boomer. I think I was a part of 6 weddings. We celebrated a couple's 69th wedding anniversary. That's very cool. We've had technical difficulties in the back. We had the alarm go off. Several trips to the ER, not me, but within the body. We've had life-changing experiences. We've seen kids enter and leave puberty. Whew. We've had a lot of good times and a lot of difficult times. I've sat with some of you right before or after a surgery, and many of you have done that even more than I have. We've prayed for each other. I was trying to come up with the amount of people that attended Renew over the year and how many times that could potentially add up in prayer. And I tried to use AI to come up with an algorithm, but I gave up. Lots of prayer is all I'm trying to say for one another. We've received communion together. We've had meals together. We've seen the addition to different parts to the building. We have seen kids come and learn more about Jesus over in the kids section. The same with the youth group. And all that time, what we have seen really is that God has led the way. Guiding our steps. As we have grown through the pain and the hardship, through the ups and through the downs. But let us go back to what Moses said in this humbling experience. Let me read Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 5 again for us. He says, "Be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today." So we'll just stop there. If you look at Deuteronomy as a whole, what he has done is he's going through quite literally all the commands that God has given. And he says, "Be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today, then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors." Remember, only 3 people are remaining from the original 600,000 people or so. That's at least the men count, but so all but 3 were never in captivity, but only in the wilderness. And then here's the key, verse 2. "Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness these past 40 years. Not remember how the Lord your God led you to the wilderness or out of the wilderness, but through the wilderness." Very specific. Instead of that short journey that should have only taken us 25 days, a month to cross by, 40 years, the Lord was very intentional. But why? What are we remembering? What has God done? Humbling you, testing you to prove your character, and to find out whether or not you will obey his commands. Yes, he will humble you by letting you go hungry, and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes, proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. we'll go through these here quickly. But God often blesses and guides us in ways we don't expect or that we ever sign up for. Who here would sign up for a wilderness on purpose? But if we limit our understanding of his work to familiar methods or preconceived ideas, we risk missing his hand in these new ways, and that's what he's calling us to remember. Moses is telling the Israelites to remember first, as I mentioned, how he's led through the wilderness. And the purpose is to humble and test you in order to know what is in your heart or your character. It's not to prove and show so God can see it. It's so God can reveal to us what is really our character. It's interesting that whenever you face a crisis or a wilderness, it's interesting to see if your heart matches what your mouth says you believe in. That's a very heavy statement for me, personally. As you might have noticed, I spent a great deal saying what God says, and then I think to myself, do I believe it? And not do I just believe it, do I live it? So what Moses is doing is reminding us, the Israelites, God's faithfulness, how he sustained the Israelites, and then he moves on with manna, a food they had never seen before. This provision reflects his creativity and abundant care. What's interesting to see is God doesn't just repeat his past miracles or his works. If you want to get a little bit nerdy, the things that require timing, he repeats, like the sun coming up, the moon, the patterns. But the way that he deals with his people, outside of sending Jesus for all people who to come to believe and to repent and believe, when he's dealing with us individually, then corporately, and then as a family and on, it's never the same way. I don't know, maybe you've ever experienced this before, but maybe you get a random check in the mail or some cash when you needed it the most. And maybe it's $5, $20. Maybe someone leaves it. Maybe it's a gift. Then the following year, you're kind of expecting that again. But he does it differently. If you like timing, you go ahead and read that, especially throughout the Old Testament. But moving on, I like what John Piper said. He said, remembering is the fuel to our faith. By recalling God's past provisions, we can trust him to work in the future. He went on to say, God's past faithfulness is a promise of his future provision. Not just how he acted, but what is revealed about his character. So what has God been to you this year? Has he been a provider, a sustainer, a comforter, a corrector? And as Deuteronomy 8:3 says, specifically, all this, yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. Again, going back, he did something completely unknown. But I think often it's missed, that first part of verse 3. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry. Wait a minute. You mean he does that? He lets me go through hard things? Yes. And he goes on, and Moses says, he did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. We sometimes often look again and remember God's character. We say we're going to be determined with that and not to jump too far ahead into the new year, but that's a great time where we make New Year's resolutions of this is what we're going to do. This is the year I'm going to fill in the blank, go to the gym more than, you know, January 2nd or whatever it is, eat better, spend more time at home, work less. The list goes on and on. But what Moses is saying is not what you're going to do. Don't remember what you've done. Don't remember what you're, or prepare for what you're going to do, but remember the character of God and what he has done through you, to you. When we limit God to our expectations, we miss a lot of times what he's currently doing now. So a challenging question that I was thinking of during this week, am I open to receive a blessing or guidance in a form that I've never seen before? And I want to say yes, but really what I want to say is, can you give a little detail? Hey, do you remember, Lord, back in 2019? Yeah, that's the one I want. And again, this remember, in Deuteronomy 6, verse 20 and 21, a couple chapters back, he says, in the future, your children will ask you, what is the meaning of these laws and decrees and regulations that the Lord our God has commanded us to obey? Verse 21, then you must tell them, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt. Now, pause real quick again. I can't stress this enough. This is what they are to say. We were Pharaoh's slaves. No, they weren't. Their parents and grandparents were. But as a people, they were. So that's what they are remembering. But the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand. Verse 22, the Lord did miraculous signs and wonders before our eyes, dealing terrible blows against Egypt and Pharaoh and all his people. So you are to remember, so you must tell them, your children. Perhaps one of the things that stand out to me probably the most is verse 4. For all these 40 years, your clothes did not wear out. Your feet didn't blister or swell. Now, I'm imagining when Moses says this and all the people are standing there, they immediately look at their clothes. How do you not? Oh, yeah. Take off your sandals. Look at those toes. I mean, I think this is very specific for lots of reasons. One of the reasons is this is something that God had blessed them with that they probably took for granted and never considered. Just to be 40 years. Their clothes didn't wear out and their feet didn't blister or swell. That's a lot of walking around in the desert. So he even supplied, and which God often does, he blesses us and takes care of the things that we take for granted and just assume that we deserve, that they are always will be there, and just because. Learning through this wilderness season of a place of humbling testing and learning dependence on God. And God allows these difficult seasons not to harm us, but to shape us, to prove to us, in us, of who we are. And reflecting on this wilderness, and not necessarily 2023 was a wilderness, but for some of you it was. You know, I joked about looking on social media that some people complain. I do understand and respect and know that some of you have went through the hardest year of your life. And yet, trusting that the wilderness experience is preparing you for something greater. Knowing then in our hearts that when we are disciplined, it's because of God's love for us, God's care. And even further back in Deuteronomy 4, 9 and 10, he's going through the whole list again, and this is talking about the children, but he says, verse 9, but watch out, be careful, never to forget what you yourselves have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live, and be sure to pass them on to your children and your grandchildren. Never forget the day when you stood before the Lord your God at Mount Sinai, where he told me, summon the people before me, and I will personally instruct them. Then they will learn to fear me as long as they live, and they will teach their children to fear me also. See that in verse 9? Be careful never to forget. So remembering, that has to be something that we need to hold on to. And the reason why Moses is pounding this drum, this is why God is pounding this drum, is because we're so forgetful. Perhaps as we leave this year and enter into a new year, trusting God to lead us, even in unfamiliar ways, if it's his desire. Or as Corrie ten Boom says, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. But looking back, perhaps we can remember the journey that we've been on for this year. Let's not get lazy. But that one comment there at the beginning, verse 1, be careful to obey his commands. Or do what is right. Are we doing what is right? Are you doing what is right? Are we aligning our life in such a way that reflects that what we say we believe, we really believe in? And perhaps some of the key takeaways that I wrote down just considering this is just a reminder to be intentional on reflecting on God's faithfulness and what it reveals about his character and who he is. Be open to God working in unexpected ways and experiences. Believing that God is using the challenge that I may be facing to grow and prepare me, and not just for myself, but maybe for someone else. But as we're closing here, as we stand on the threshold of a new year, let us remember that Zakar, let us remember, let us not just recall what God has done, but act on the memory with trust and obedience, God's faithfulness. Not to live in the past, a better year, a past year, but to remember his provision for the hope for the future, eager expectation that he still desires to use us until he takes us home. And yet at the same time, for anyone here who have not put their trust in Jesus, today could be the day. He is faithful. He's proven that by sending his son. I'm going to pray for us, but just in a moment, if you were expecting communion, I'm sorry, we're not having communion. But as we sing a couple more songs, just reflect and remember the goodness of God and his character and how he has journeyed with you this year, with us as a church family. And if you're visiting, how he's blessed you with whatever community group that you're part of. But please don't go to bed tonight without sharing what God has done. And here's my note. If you are in bed and just about to fall asleep and you think, uh-oh, I forgot, you can text me. It's okay. But he is faithful, isn't he? He is good. He has provided for all of our needs. Let's pray. Lord, as we look back on this year, will you help us to see your hand every moment? The blessings and trials, and how you've blessed us through trials. Lord, will you continue to teach us to remember not just what you've done, but who you are? Will you open our hearts to trust you in a new and unexpected way? as we leave one year into a new year, and yet to reflect on the fact that one year is 1,000 years to you, and how we are constrained to time, but you are not. And yet, Lord, as you've led the Israelites through the wilderness for those 40 years and supplied manna from the sky, food that had never been heard of or thought of or even considered, yet you had blessed them in such a great way that they were not expecting. So, Lord, as we leave this year, let us do so with thanksgiving and remembrance of who you are. Not to ignore the hardship, but just to see your hands, your fingerprints, as you have led us into and through and out of a wilderness season, and all to humble us and to make us more like your Son. And Lord, if we can take that on to the new year and be a blessing to other people, will you help us to do so? But again, Lord, will you teach us to remember not just what you've done, but who you are? And you're a great God. We love you, we thank you, we praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.